Make sure y'all all standing. Make sure everybody
on. Whoa. I'm going to talk to me.
Check.
Now, wait a minute. We're going to do a song for you this morning. Ever since when I took the church, Wade said it'd be all right for me to do this if he could sing with me every once in a while. So he's begged, pleaded, squalled, and everything else to do this song. So we're going to do it for you this morning. I like this song.
It's a good one.
I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Not bad.
I was breaking down a skin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally knelt, contentment in my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when he saved my soul.
I'd been hearing preaching right here. P.E. Maple's been preaching to me, and I had it in my heart, and I was scared. I got to thinking, Lord, if the Lord comes back and I hadn't publicly accepted him, what in the world's going to happen to me?
He goes, man.
And the little old feller, they weren't preaching, they were singing, Brother and William at the worship. The old song used to be called Holy Manna.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it, folks. I went that altar.
Amen.
And then I got scared and I thought, Lord, I'm gonna mess the service up. I messed it up all right. That whole service, that whole bunch got around me praying. I remember the day
Amen.
When the Lord saved me. If you're not saved today, if you hadn't publicly gotten saved, Please do that.
Amen. Yeah.
Sing that second verse. I keep singing.
Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides. Since the day Jesus took my sins away, now to heaven I will go. He's been the endless ages while the ever roll. We're praising his name for the glorious day that he saved my soul. I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Oh, my soul. Oh, you, the Lord, have made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. I remember the day when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Fill my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget when the Lord saved
do nothing sometimes. Okay. Good. You like that? Thank you.
Amen. I don't know what to say. Praise the Lord. Because I remember the day the Lord saved me. If you want to hear a little bit about it, come Monday night, because I was saved at New Friendship Baptist Church. I've never preached there, so God's got a sense of humor, or he's going to bless me one. Amen. Thank you for that. Quartet, whatever we want to call you, thank you very much. Thank you. As we dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bible, Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13. And if you don't remember the day, so today could be that day you could remember. You don't have to wait till the invitation. You can do it right here and right now, but you make it public after the service is over. In fact, if you want to come right now, you're welcome to come right now. You're not going to interrupt this service. Thank you for that testimony, Wade. Psalm chapter 13. We're going to read all six verses. I asked you if you will to stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. Reads like this. Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up my anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and answer, Lord my God, restore brightness to my eyes, otherwise I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the song or to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen, the one that's heard. Father, may everything done and said be according to your will. In your Son, Jesus, precious name, I pray. Amen. Sometimes in life, God's been, over the past few weeks, we've talked about the worshiping of God. And we've talked about friendship with God. And over the past several weeks, as I readied for the message, it was as if God would bring things across my mind. The things in my life would be very applicable to the message that I was that he was laying upon my heart, and this week was no different. Sometimes it seems as if God is not there. And this week, as I got ready for, was getting ready for the message, normally by Monday, I resettled on what the Lord wants me to preach, and as I try to get ready, but it just seemed like every time I went into him in prayer, every time I sought after him through his word, I tried to get to exactly what he wanted to say. It was as if, you know, we have those moments in life that we do all these things and we hear nothing. That's been Greg's week this week. There's a lot of other things going on, a lot of different things in life taking place, and many times, I know, surely I'm not the only one, that it seems like the things that we do, and the more we seek after him, sometimes, not all the time, because I remember the day. I have not forgotten the day. But sometimes in life we go through, it's a struggle, and we ask, where are you, Lord? I'm seeking after you. I want to hear from you. I want that fellowship. I want that friendship. I want to worship you. And Lord, it just seems as if you're not there. And that's what these scriptures are about. And I was struggling, or maybe I was, Lord, do you really want me to go in this direction? I was seeking, God, what do you want me to do? I knew the topic, and I thought this was going to be the scriptures, and just so happened, Wednesday night, Gaston and I meet most every Wednesday night, and we just talk, and we look at some scriptures, and we talked about these. And I asked Gaston, I said, what goes through your mind when you face moments like this? And Gaston said something that's kind of humorous, but it stuck with me. You know what he said? He said, I've really screwed up because God's not listening to me. That's the first thing that goes through our mind, that goes through my mind. What have I done? Well, that's a good thing. What have I, because we want to be in our right relationship with him. We want to be in right fellowship with him. There may be sin in the camp, and we'll talk about it a little more as we work our way through the scriptures. There may be sin in your life that you need to address, that you need to confess to God and repent of your sins. But there's occasions in our walk with God there may not be sin in your life. It may be that God wants to test your faith and for you to grow in your faith and for you to trust in him, even though it seems as if he's not there. You know, in many occasions, let's just use this analogy. I was seeing a picture recently. I can't remember where, but we'll say it was on the internet. It's probably where it was. A picture of an eagle's nest that was on a branch above a raging river. You know how much rain we've had? You could go down to Cooley's Grocery probably today, and you'll see a lot of water crossing under the bridge and passing off behind his store. So it's a reminder of their nest. They were felt safe in that nest. They made their home in that nest. So I say all that to say, no matter all the surrounding chaos and struggles and difficulties that may be going on in your life, there's still peace when you're in the nest, when you're in the arms of God. There's still peace when you're in the arms of God. But sometimes there's comes these points in time that when we praise God, it seems as if he's not there. When we seek after God, we struggle to find him. And that's what was going on in the life of David here as we work our way through the text this morning. Sometimes it just feels like God's not there. And those times are very difficult for us. Those times are very trying for us. Because sometimes it feels like we pick up the phone and we're dialing his number per se, and all we hear is a busy signal. But there's one truth I want you to, if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this one truth right here. God is never too busy for you. He is never too busy for you. And we can hold on to the promise that He gives us that He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. He has that much love and concern for each and every person in this room. Each and every person that breathes a breath of life. He's never too busy for you. And it may be that God wants us to just trust Him. Seek Him out, because He can be found. Don't give up. Trust Him. So how do we do all this? How do we accomplish this? How does this take place? You know, I shared with you as I was going through different things this week, a verse of Scripture kept coming to my mind. It's Acts chapter 6, verse 4, when there was a lot of chaos going on, and there was a complaint about the stuff going on, and there was people within the church that needs were not being met, and it's we kind of list this as where the first deacons were implemented, and it says in Acts 6, 4 that they elected deacons, these seven men, so they could serve, so that the pastors could pray and preach, and in that order, pray and preach. This week, as I was getting ready, I was praying, getting ready to preach, and it's as if nothing. But I trusted God. And then Wednesday night was a very key time when Gaston and I talked. How that conversation, I thought, wow, God, you're Greg is here, and you're learning from Gaston, because he shares with you that you're not alone, Greg, and that you can trust me when times get tough. So how do we do this? I think there's three things that we need to look at very plainly. God seems distant. What do I do? So in your fill in the blank that's in the bulletin, evaluate the problem. Evaluate the problem. In other words, before we jump to conclusions, you might say, we must understand what's taking place. We must understand the theme of our life, if you will. The question we must ask ourselves first is this: am I serving the Lord? But it's a yes or no answer. There's no middle ground. There's no on occasion. It's either you're serving the Lord or you are not. So we have to ask ourselves that question first, because as Christians, as followers of Christ, that's our first number one agenda, to be a disciple that makes disciples, that makes disciples, that makes disciples. Am I serving the Lord? Am I seeking to be a man after God's own heart? The reason we ask this question is because if we do not evaluate the problem, anxiety will set in, just like it did with David. And as we see in the text, it set in pretty strongly. Now, we don't know exactly when it took place, these scriptures, but as you work your way through the text, it says that he can remember a lot of these things taking place. And through the questions that he asks, we'll look at it here closely in just a minute, we get an idea that he's lived a good bit of life, and he's reflecting back, saying, you know what, thank you, Lord, through those times that you were silent, it seemed, and I know now that you are growing me in faith. I want to praise you for it. And as I think as David reflected and wrote these scriptures down, and as God, the Holy Spirit instructed him to write them down, I think he was thinking that there's going to come a day that Greg's going to exist. And he needs encouragement that while he feels as if God's not present, to remember God's always there and to praise him and worship him through the process. And that's something that we all need to do. But to get that right relationship, we need to first examine the problem. In order for us to evaluate properly, we must ask the correct questions. Just like Gaston mentioned, have I done something wrong? That's the first question we need to ask ourselves. Have I done something I shouldn't? So how do I know? You pick up God's Word and you read it and you see what it says. And if you're following after it, seeking God's will, then you may be clear. But one thing holds true, we are sinners saved by grace in need of a Savior. And we need to trust Him through the process. But as we stated earlier, there may be times that we come to an understanding that we need to ask forgiveness of sin, and we do ask for forgiveness of sin, and we expect God to just immediately pounce on us and fill us with this word, and maybe there's not sin in our lives, and we ask Him, and He's still not there. So we have to dive deeper in exactly what the problem may be. And if we don't evaluate the problem, it brings more turmoil because we have this anxiety that builds up. How many times have we been like David? We're frustrated because we're praying. We're reading God's word. We're tithing. We're fellowshipping. We're worshiping. And we're still here crickets. We don't hear anything. I know that surely I'm not the only one who's been there. Sometimes it's not because of what I've done, but it's because of what He's doing behind the scenes, in our life, working out details, developing His plan, testing you to see will you trust Him through the process. As time goes on, we respond like David. And it really grabbed my attention as I read these first two verses. Four times David asks, how long? How long will you forget me? David felt as if God had forgotten him. David was talking like a fool. Because can God forget? Does God forget His children? That's a question that we shouldn't be asking. Have you forgotten me, Lord? Here I am. No, God's not forgotten you. He loves you. David was responding through how many of us respond on many different occasions. Lord, have you forgotten me? Usually the first question that we ask, have you forgotten me, Lord? I'm not here. He knows exactly where you are. We need to trust Him. Second, he asked Him, how long will you hide from me? David felt as if God had cut him off from His favor. You see, David had a lot of success. Not through David's accomplishments, but because God was with him. God was leading him. He was following God. If he made a mistake, he repented of his sins, and God restored him to the right fellowship. He returned to the joy of God's salvation. There's many times in our own lives we wonder, God, are you hiding from me? Maybe David was saying, Lord, I'm dying here. People are after me. The Philistines are after me. Saul's after me. He wants to take my life. Are you hiding from me, Lord? David asked him, how long will I have to worry and wonder? David experienced great depression during this process. And he felt as if he was facing these troubles alone. David was crying out, Lord, I need you. How long, Lord, will I be afraid of my enemies? David felt as if he was facing constant humiliation. Why? Because it felt like he was on a losing team. But you know something? Victory has already been won. The Messiah had not come yet, but he knew the Messiah promised. So maybe David was looking forward. God, you promised that you were going to establish the throne. The Messiah was going to come from this. And maybe things weren't happening in the time that David thought they should. Things weren't happening like David thought they should. Lord, what's going on here? My enemies are coming after me. I don't think it was because of David and his selfishness. I think it was because he wanted God's name glorified. He wanted people to know that God was a king that loved all in spite of themselves. And oftentimes, as we go through life, we feel and act just like David. We feel like too many losses. Let me tell you something. You can't gain victory no matter what. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing in John 15:5. Victory is His. But God wants to use you, wants you to be a vessel that He can use to glorify His name and share with other people who He is. And there comes a point in time when it seems as if we're not hearing from God. Maybe we need to step back and say, God, what are you doing in my life? Who is it that's around me that you're It may seem silent at the time, but I promise you, God's at work in the details. And we're given a promise in Scripture. And I think this is what David was doing. He kept asking, how long? How long? Because he knew at the end of the day, after he had learned from this test, that God's name was going to be glorified. So I think he, though it wouldn't had not been written yet, James chapter 4, verse 8, which says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I think David knew that all well, that there, even though he was going through this time that he felt like he could hear nothing, he was evaluating the problem, but yet he was still seeking the Lord because he knew the Lord had not left him. He felt like it, but he knew he was there, and he was at work somewhere. So it's important for us to learn from David that when we go through times like this, we need to just turn to the Lord and trust him. Keep seeking him out. Don't bail. Don't give up. Don't turn to... There's nothing against books. But too often we're guilty of, we have a struggle and we turn to a self-help book. There's nothing wrong with them. But if we leave out God's Word, we don't look there first, we're missing the point. God's Word is the primary source that we should turn to and learn from. Books are good. Books are useful. Commentaries are useful. But don't just rely on only self-help books. Turn to the Lord. Evaluate the problem that may be going on in your life. Either there's sin in your life or he's testing you. How will you see through, how will he see you through struggles you're facing? The difficulties that you're going through. So evaluate the problem. Number two, you fill in the blank. God seems distant. What should I do? Call out and petition. Call out and petition. Listen to what he says in verses 3 and 4. Consider me and answer, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. My enemies will say I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. You say, well, that just doesn't seem like a very useful prayer. Let me tell you something. Too often we're guilty of saying, you know what, so-and-so, they pray the sweetest of prayers. And I agree with you. But because of Jesus, every person in this room who has surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can come before the throne of grace with boldness. We don't have to say, oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to go in that manner and attitude. I don't mean to take that lightly. I'm just saying, when David came before God, consider what I'm going through, Lord. He was open and honest. When we come before the Lord, that's what he wants for us. He wants that fellowship, that friendship that we talked about. He wants us to be open and honest before him. He wants us to ask, God, this is going on in my life, and I want to, very much so, to have close fellowship and relationship with you, but I'm having trouble finding you, Lord. Where are you at? He wants you to be honest. So-and-so is doing all these things and this stuff, and it seems like they're getting honor and glory. God, I don't want them, the people of me, to get glory. I want you to get glory. Why don't we seek out the Lord? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Give our petitions to the Lord because he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. That may be the test. He puts Greg or you or anybody through, allows or arranges things to happen in life. He just wants to see, how will Greg respond? Will he look to a self-help book and just say, well, I can't find the answer here, and run? Get away? Or will he get on his knees? Seek me out. Maybe it's God's desire to just see, will Greg, will you seek him out? Will you seek him out? Will you trust in him? Will you turn to him? Give your petitions to the Lord. Give your petitions to him. We should learn from David's response. When God seemed distant, he called out instead of turning from him. And one thing that we should learn in this text that often takes place is too often when we don't hear from the Lord, know what the first thing we do is? Complain. We even have the gall, if you will, to run to other men and complain about God not listening to us. What'd David do here? He ran to God. He complained to God about men and how they were treating him. I certainly feel as if it's time for Christians. I think it's time for the church to do a little bit of running to God and say, God, this is going on. What do you want to do? I feel as if I've not heard from you in a while. How can I hear you? I feel the church needs a fresh start, a fresh movement, a renewing, a revival of sense. We need to be renewed in their fellowship, a new zeal, this a fire lit in their bellies, where they want to go to other people and say, Jesus is the reason that we have salvation. I remember the day that I was saved. And I want other people to not just experience, I want other people to have the hope of Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords no matter what decision we make. But people need to surrender to Him. People need to hear from Him. And I think there's too many church people that get in a tough situation instead of turning. You see, we turn to a rock or a hard place. Instead of turning to the rock, which is Jesus, we turn to a hard place and we complain. We need to do a lot more turn to Jesus and trust and rely upon Him. As Gaston and I were talking this past Wednesday night, we had this discussion about the presence of the Lord. And Gaston made a statement, and we talked about it then, but I want to talk about it a little bit now. And he didn't say exactly like this. I rephrased it. But oftentimes in life, when we feel God's presence, we compare it to goosebumps. Oh, I felt the Lord's presence today. Let me tell you something. God's a whole lot more than goosebumps. Yes, the feeling comes on occasion when we feel God's presence, but we don't look and seek after goosebumps. We look and seek after the Lord. And it's important for us to remember in our petition that we pray for more than just goosebumps to take place. We pray that God's presence, God's real Holy Spirit that dwells within the heart of every believer right here this morning, the Holy Spirit has filled your life. It's no longer you that live, but Christ who lives within you. It's important for us to make sure that we know that God is more than goosebumps and He lives within us. And oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes in the silence is because we have squelched Him out. Not you, Lord, but me. So evaluate the problem. Go to Him in petition. Seek His face. I know David. I feel like David was looking and searching for something more than goosebumps. David had seen God at work in his life. David had seen God at work in the lives of many people, and he felt like he was not hearing from God, and he was saying, calling out to God, how long will I not see you at work? And God was saying, if it does not say this in the text, but if God was to say it, had responded, He would have said, look around you, David. There's a song titled, who sings the song, Do Something? Matthew West, thank you. Oftentimes we're very guilty of thinking of this song titled, Do Something. And we call out to the Lord, Lord, why don't you do something? And you look at the lyrics of that song and he says, I created you. Greg, I'm doing something, but are you? Are you doing what you've been called to do? I saved your soul, and I would do it again. But Greg, if you want me to do something, stand up. Greg, if you want me to do something, let me. Greg, if you want something to happen, you want me to do something, trust me. Let me work through you. because I want to bring honor and glory to my name through you. You see, we have to be a willing vessel. We have to be ready and willing to seek his face. Petition him. Be open and honest to God. That's what he wants. He knows everything about you, every hair upon your head, however many or however few you may have. He knows and counts every one. And he loves you. He loves you. So seek his face. Keep praying. Keep seeking his will. Keep looking after him. So what can I learn from this text? Here's what I want you to learn. Second thing I want you to learn, if you hear nothing else. God allows us to reach the end of ourselves because it is only when we reach the end of ourselves that we become useful. You hear that? It's only when we say, I can't do it, that God comes becomes real and he starts to work. Because the rest of the time we're bringing honor and glory to our name and what we can do, and it should be us trusting him and what he could do. We need to come to the end of ourselves and say, here you go, Lord. Poor, pitiful, wretched vessel that I am. Do what you will. Not my will, but yours be done. See, he wants for us to be Christ-like. And we need to petition him on what steps to take, what direction to go, how he wants us to follow in him. Number three, and you fill in the blank. God seems distant. What should I do? I heard the statement, I think it was Roger Martis made this statement not too long ago. He said, when you're living life in verses 1 through 4, don't forget verses 4 through 6. Verses 5 and 6, excuse me. Though he may seem distant, he is still right there close, and you need to worship him. You need to trust him. You need to bring honor and glory to him. This is probably the most difficult to learn and implement. It's probably the most difficult step that we can do as we read this text. Because while we're going through verses 1 through 4, we're feeling forgotten. We're hunting but not finding God. We're anxious and worrisome. We're feeling the enemy close in on all sides. It's difficult to remember verses 5 and 6. It's difficult to remember to worship him because of who he is. It's difficult for us to take a stand when it seems like there's nothing to take a stand for. But remember the day that you were lost and headed for hell, and he saved your soul. Christians, it's important for us to remember that day and praise him for it, because you did not deserve it. Now, I'm going to change direction, same topic, but I'm going to change direction for just a few minutes to do something that I normally do not do, but I think it's very important that we do. I want to talk just a minute to some of our elder church members for a moment. One important thing in life to remember that as you experience life, the longer you live life, the more life you live. And how you experience a lot of difficulties and a lot of struggles and a lot of things in your life. I want to say thank you to some senior adults in this room and to some senior adults that maybe have gone on already with the Lord. I want to say thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. For encouraging me when times seemed tough. For praying for me when you know I was going through stuff like we all do. I want to thank you for when you faced life and you had those struggling moments and you lived your life in front of me, in front of many others within this room that saw you. When life was difficult, you were still here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, worshiping the Lord, spending time with him, and you laid down the foundation, if you will, or build upon the foundation of Jesus, and this is how you serve, this is how you follow, this is how you worship. I want to say thank you. Even if I was kissing Paige on the steps going down the fellowship hall and you call us kissing, Miss Georgia May. She never told anybody, didn't tell us till later. just say thank you. I won't name all names, but there are many of you in this room who have lived your life as an example. And I can share testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of how you lived in front of me. When the going gets tough, you keep going because you're trusting the Lord. You keep fighting. You keep living. You keep worshiping. And you keep praising God. And I want to thank you. But I want to ask you one favor. And in a minute, I want to ask Brother Max Snow, where'd he go off to? Okay, in a minute, I want to ask Max Snow to pray for us. And then we'll go conclude. Several new generations coming up. And we're thankful and grateful for your leadership. And for you living life in front of us, showing us how to follow the Lord. Even when it seemed like it was tough and there was no end to the difficult journey in sight, you kept being loyal to Him. And you kept placing Him first in your life. And you kept supporting and growing and fellowshipping within the church. The foundation that you laid upon named Jesus, you kept building and saying, this is the way, walk in it. Because Jesus said, this is the way and walk in it. But I want you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for me as your pastor. That I will just turn to the Lord. In those days of drought, it seems as if He's not there. I want you to pray that I will keep seeking His face. That I will keep turning to Him. And I want you to pray that every generation that's coming after you and this younger generation that's coming up, I want you to pray the same prayer for them. When life gets tough, to keep the faith. To stand close to the Lord. And keep seeking and praising His name. So Brother Max, would you pray for us as the younger generation? And then we'll conclude in a moment. Brother Max. Amen. So as we get ready for a song of invitation, church, Jesus Himself said, I have come that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. John 16:33. As we face difficulties and struggles, and sometimes we wonder where the Lord is, keep pursuing after Him. Keep praising His name. if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, you too need to evaluate the problem. If you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that is the problem. Because there's coming a day that He's going to return. And when He does, it'll be too late. We don't know the hour or the moment or the day or the second. We don't know anything about exactly when. We just know through His Word, and over 1,000 times it's mentioned in Scriptures, He's coming back. So we need to evaluate. You need to evaluate the problem. You need to call out and petition, "Father, forgive me for what I've done." You see, the Bible shares that Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's each and every one of us. I'm standing here before you as a pastor, but I'm a sinner saved by God's amazing grace. Because without Him, I did not get into heaven. The Bible shares in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, in Romans 5:8, He shares that God proved His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. The gift is yours there for the taking. It's extended out, but you've got to take it and you've got to open it. You've got to receive it. You've got to believe and receive it. So I urge you and I plead with you, if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus, won't you do that? You'll never regret it. And you'll always remember it. Won't you come? This altar's open. As we stand, as we sing, hymn number.
Number 447.
Won't you come?
Thank you. Thank you.